the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go once again. We want to welcome you to the Refresh Radio program. Today is Thursday. Pray that you are having a marvelous, marvelous day, and that Jesus is living inside your heart, filling you with the Word of God, and that you are walking victory in each and every step. So today I want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. They are can be reached at 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. I do this every once in a while just in case you don't know how to spell their name and you do a Google search. It's W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They have been in Rockledge serving Brevard County for over 40 years now, providing professional sales, services, and repairs. They work in air conditioning, heating, and electrical, considering residential and light commercial settings, and even emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Let me tell you that if your air conditioner is struggling, we're here in August, we've still got months to go of, you know, our most intense heat. The peak hurricane season is not even here yet. But here's what I can tell you. If your air conditioner says, that's it, I'm retired, it may take a while before they are able to even get a unit. Now, I'm not talking about Wyrick Air. I'm talking about anybody that they may not even have a unit available for you for days or sometimes weeks. I know somebody that just went through a situation like this. And so I want to encourage you that if your air conditioner is getting a little old as far as air conditioner years goes, you might want to call the folks at Wyrick Air, have them come out and see what it's the lifespan expectancy of your air conditioner is, and if it's getting close to the end of its lifespan, you may want to go ahead and say, hey, let's schedule this for the next few months or something like that, because you don't want it to go south on you. Give up its operating capacity and you be sitting there with no air conditioning or no heat. That's a crisis that could be avoided if you just are a little bit proactive. Some of the things that I've had discussions about are, you know, if your air conditioner is too old, that some of the insurance companies are making people replace that, and you know, if you don't replace it, they're going to cancel you. I've heard that about other elements as well of the house. So take a proactive approach. Give the folks at Wyrick Air a call. Have them come out and see if they cannot get you scheduled to where you don't have an outage except for during the transition phase there. But, you know, your electric bill may go down in the process. And so just little pointers there. Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538. So we're going back to Job chapter 41. We are talking about the limitations of united opposition against God as we're here seeking the truth of God's word. And God is challenging Job and saying, look, some of the things that are so very simple for me that they're impossible for you to do. Very easy for me, impossible for you. That's where we're heading. And you've got to understand, you cannot just be a master in one of these areas. You need to be a master in all of them before you can compare to God. And then you would have to have the humility of God. You'd have to have the holiness of God. And man just doesn't do humility well, especially if they feel that they are better positioned than the people around them. Arrogancy and pride is a prevalent mindset and sin in some people's lives. So today, let's pick up with verse number 6 is where we're going to begin reading. And it says, "Will your companions make a banquet of him or bargain over him? Will they apportion him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. Never do it again. Indeed, any hope of overcoming him is false. Shall one not be overwhelmed at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has preceded me that I should repay him? Everything under heaven is mine." So, I want to begin focusing on verse number 8 right now. And verse number 8 is one of those verses that I really appreciate it. It's talking about man's struggle with Leviathan, and he says, "Lay your hand on him, remember the battle, and never do it again." Lay your hand on him, remember the battle, and never do it again. I told the story at church here a few weeks ago that I was in Texas and was selling things at a flea market to supplement the income that my family needed to pay our bills and buy groceries when our son was little. And so I would do that on a Friday and a Saturday, and I wouldn't go out there on Sunday because I had church. But went to this one flea market, and they had a terrarium, a very, very large aquarium, glass enclosure with fencing over it and everything, and it was filled with rattlesnakes. And they had taken $100 bills, and they had thrown them down inside there, and they said, "Hey, if you want to stick your hand down in there and grab the $100 bill, it's yours for the taking." And the mindset was to try and entice people to do that, which is very warped at best. And you look at it and say, well, how bad could a rattlesnake bite hurt? And it's not fun. You know, I don't know about you, but if you get a splinter, it gets your attention very, very quickly. And so I remember that I had a family member that got bitten by not a rattlesnake, but by a copperhead when they were very, very young. And they ended up having to go to the hospital to save their life. So it was not to be toyed around with. I don't know what type of battle you've ever been in, but have you ever been in a battle with someone where they were stronger than you, more powerful than you, knew more than you, had greater wisdom, had better tactics, had better speed, and I am not ever going to do that again. I'm sure that there is something in everybody's life that is listening that you learned the pain, the heartache of engaging in a battle you should never have engaged in. And what God says to Job is, if you ever get so full of yourself that you engage in a battle with just a part of my creation. It is a battle that you will never forget. He says, if you lay your hand on him, remember the battle. You know, a lot of things that we do in life, we try and train ourselves to forget. But there are some spiritual battles. There are some relational battles that we've had through the years, and you don't ever want to go through that again. When I look back on my childhood, I look back at my siblings and I, and almost every one of us had a situation where it could have killed us. It could have taken us out. And so we don't ever mess with those things ever again. Remember the battle. I've got a friend of mine. He's written a book, and it's a book about what do we learn from suffering. What do we learn from suffering? And what we learn from suffering is that we don't want to have any part of that. I don't want to have any part of that. And suffering, the Bible says that when we have suffered physically and we've come through that, that we are to that place where we are done with sin. Okay? A person who has had a life-controlling substance battle that's gone on in their life, and it almost killed them, it almost ended their marriage, it almost ended their career, and then they come out of that, and then they say, well, it's no big deal. It really wasn't that traumatic. I can control it better this next time. They still haven't learned the lesson. You know, we want to step in and we want to make sure that nobody gets hurt and all of that sort of stuff. But I'm here to tell you that there are some battles that if we engage in them and that we're designed, we should not ever forget those so that we don't ever make that mistake again. Okay. The Bible talks about a dog that returns to its own vomit. That is like one of the grossest things. You know, I'm a dog guy. I'm not a cat guy. I've got bad stories about cats. I've got a couple of bad stories about dogs, but lots of bad stories about cats. I've had some good cats, but I've also had some very ill-tempered cats. But most of my dogs have just been phenomenal dogs. And as a dog person, I will tell you this, some of the stuff they do is just disgusting. And there's nothing that I've ever seen that if there was something that was making me sick to the point that if I didn't get it out of my system, I was going to die. There is not a mindset in me that says, oh, I can't wait to go back and make that part of my internal being once again. That is a depraved mindset. Jesus did not die on the cross so that our battle with sin could be something that we could trivialize and say, oh, well, he forgave me that time. He'll forgive me again this time. No, he wants us having victory in that. Remember what a threat to your life it was. And God tells Job this, there are battles that if you've ever engaged in them and I'm merciful to you and bring you out of that situation, don't ever do it again. Have you stopped to make a list of some of the things that God's delivered you from? And you make that list, say, I don't ever want to do that again. Okay? So I'm not going to try and gospelize this particular movie. I'm just going to share with you. They came out with Top Gun Maverick this year that was a sequel to Top Gun from back in the 80s, I believe it was. And saw the one in the 80s, haven't seen the new one. But back in the 80s, during his flight school training, Tom Cruise had abandoned his wingman to go after this other instructor, and he was wanting to be the one that took him down, and he said, "I'm not going to leave my wingman. I'm not going to leave my wingman." And then there ends up being a tragic accident, and the guy in the back of the plane, I don't know if he's co-pilot or navigator or what he was, but they functioned as a team, and he ends up getting fatally injured in that situation. Well, later on, he goes into a battle scene. He walked away from school, and he has to come to that place and say, you know, "I'm not going to make the same mistake I did before, but I'm also not going to quit." I believe as Christians, it is time that we quit surrendering to the devil and we quit resisting God. I think we need to flip the script on those two things. I think we need to submit to God and we need to resist the devil. Okay? Now, so there are some battles that you were designed never to engage in, but there are other battles that you and I are meant to not turn away from. We are meant to engage. Okay? We do not surrender to sin. We do not surrender to the devil. We do not surrender to wickedness and ungodliness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We are in this thing for victory. Please understand that you as a believer are not on a comfort cruise, but instead you are in a very active, spiritually military zone. There's hostile forces that are trying to take captives, but you and I have the message of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I took this verse here recently and I flipped the script on it with my congregation. In 1 Corinthians, turning over there right now, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says this in verse number 6, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They laid their hands on the anointed one of God, and if they had known the defeat that was right about to hit them, it says they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." So I flipped that script in just a little bit, and I would tell you this, that the people that set Daniel up to be thrown into the den of lions, had they known that God was going to send an angel, deliver them, and that Daniel would survive and they would not, they never would have set Daniel up and said, "Don't pray. Win the battle of prayer." If the rulers if Nebuchadnezzar had known that creating a 90-foot tall golden image of himself and demanding everybody bow down to him, if he had known that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego served a God who was greater than Nebuchadnezzar ever dreamed he could be and was able to not only get down into the fire with those three young men, but loose them, bring them out without any sign that they had ever been in there before, he wouldn't have done that. If Nebuchadnezzar had not been so proud and full of himself, he wouldn't have lost his sanity and had to have had his mind restored after a number of years. There are a number of battles that the enemy mocks and say, there's no way that you're winning this. But instead, we have the mindset, you know what? You're getting ready to engage a battle with a child of the living God who has God living on the inside of us, and you're not ever going to forget this battle. People still talk about the battle of David and Goliath. I heard somebody recently that said this, the story of David and Goliath is not the story of the underdog versus the overwhelming favorite. The story of David and Goliath is about God conquering those who rise up in opposition to him. And the world still remembers that, even though they get the wrong lesson from time to time. So my prayer is that whenever the battle shows up, I don't go looking for spiritual battles under every rock and under every log or anything like that. But if there's a battle that needs to be taken on in the spirit realm, then understand this. I'm going to do my best to function to win. And it may be one of those situations that when we come out, neither one of us ever forget about it. For one, it'll be a testimony. For others, it will be a humiliating defeat. There was a comedian by the name of Jerry Clower who told a bunch of funny country stories and things like that. And they were out coon hunting one night, and they had their dogs, and they thought they had treed a coon, but instead they had treed a bobcat. And so one of them crawled up into the trees, and that's when he discovered it wasn't a coon, it was a bobcat. And there was all sorts of cat noises and ouch and screaming. And finally the person called out and said, shoot. And they said, well, we can't shoot up there, we might shoot you. He said, I said shoot. One of us has got to have some relief up here. I pray that you and I get so filled with the Holy Spirit and so filled with the Word of God, so united with the body of Christ, that when we go into battle, we don't go into battle alone. We go in with the favor of God, with the people of God, with the plan of God, the strategy of God, the timing of God, and that when we come out, we're going to come out victorious. And it is a testimony that we're not afraid to share. Nobody really likes to talk too much about the spiritual conflict, but it is very much part of what disciples do. In the book of Jude, the last little book before Revelation, Jude writes this, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Okay? So there's a lot of battles that we engaged in before Christ, and we don't ever want to engage in those. But I tell you that as a child of the living God, whose heart has been changed, whose mind has been renewed in Christ Jesus, that I pray that we will walk in victory and that we will contend for the faith. Understand that in America, faith is very much under attack right now. The Bible talks about that there are demonic plans that the devil has for this world, but there's the Holy Spirit of God, and there's the church of the Jesus Christ, the church of Almighty God, that have the ability to restrain the destructive, deceptive, and deceitful plans that the enemy has. I pray that you and I will have already said, you know what? I've been delivered from that. I've been delivered to the promises of God, and I'm going to enjoy walking in that lifestyle, but I'm not content just for that being in my life. I'm gonna take it to others as well. I tell you what, when the devil lays hands on people's family members, I think that there ought to be a rallying cry. A lot of times we say, oh, we don't want to talk about it. I have a completely different mindset. When one of my family members is in harm's way, I want everybody I know praying. I want everybody I know interceding and coming boldly before the throne of grace, because I want those family members delivered by the hand of God and coming away with a glorious, glorious testimony. We were recently part of a men's meeting, and one of our men at church made this statement. All of us have our war stories, and he said, I don't hardly ever talk about my war stories. I don't know what your spiritual battle has looked like, but if you're the one that's glorified in it instead of Jesus, you need to rewrite the story. You need to rewrite the story. Jesus is the commander of the army of the Lord of hosts, and he's the hero of my story. I pray that he's the hero of your story as well. So, close this up for today. If you've ever struggled with sin, don't ever forget how intense that battle was, and don't go back to that sinful lifestyle. On the other hand, if you've ever been in a battle for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if you've ever been advancing the kingdom of God, I pray that you got a testimony that you won't ever forget of how God came through and helped you to accomplish his purposes for his glory. Let's not ever forget the battles we've been through. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.
Standing here in the presence of something more than I know.